Thank you, Larry. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hey, we're so honored that you're here. What a joy, a gift, just a delight. Your presence is here with us as we gather for worship. I want to ask you to join me in welcoming a guest we have here with us this Sunday. Reverend Kyle Bierman is with us, has pastored churches throughout the area, and he will be helping lead us in worship. Kyle's grandparents, you may remember the Biermans, were a part of our congregation some years ago, and I will henceforth decree that any Baptist with the last name Bierman wins. The game is over. So, Kyle, we're grateful for you and grateful for your family sharing you with us this morning. If you're our guest and there's any way that we can be of help to you, we are honored that you're here. There's a QR code on the back, or there's cards right in front of you in the chairs. If there's any way we can follow up to you in any way that would be most appropriate, please let us know, and we would be honored to do so. The Euro Championship, thank God, doesn't kick off until 2 p.m., okay, so we're not going to be in any rush this morning to get through worship. And those of you rooting for England and those of you rooting for Italy, we will pray for your souls. So, again, thank you so much for being here with us in worship. I invite you to take a moment to breathe, to be still and centered and receive the presence of God's Spirit here with us now, here long before we were ever here, and here long after you and I leave this space. Receive the presence of God's Spirit. The Lord be with you. As you may be able, I invite you to stand as we continue to worship together.
Our call to worship is based on 2 Samuel chapter 6 and Psalm 24. God of all creation, everything that you have made lifts its unique voice to praise you in all of your glory.
Even as we worship here,
we join our voices to the one true song. The song the morning stars began. The song the angels echoed at the birth of your Son.
Glory to God. Glory.
Let this hour of worship be holy to the praise of your glory. Amen.
Voice of the Father this morning.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your God and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again.
As we continue to worship with We Will Glorify.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the
with me. Creator God, we praise you for the sun, for the clouds, for the rain, for the trees, and for your presence that can be felt in your creation. We know all of creation sings your praises. Allow us to join in and praise you today and each and every day. It is in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Hi, Eva.
Good morning.
Look at y'all.
Oh, Candy, you have to share. You want to sit down, baby? Sit right there with the other kids.
Good morning.
Look at your summertime faces. Let me see them. Mm-hmm. Hello. Oh, so many kids. They're coming and coming. Rachel's going to show you a picture I want you to look at. Can you read that?
Joyland, where the fun is.
Joyland, where the fun is. How many of y'all have been to Joyland? Woohoo! You know what? I love Joyland. When I was a little girl, my parents would take me to Joyland, and the Tilt-A-Whirl was my very, very, you know what that is? Yes. You go around and around. I just screamed and screamed. My sister screamed, and then she threw up. She screamed, and oh, it was such joy. Now, joy is what I'm going to talk to you about today. In the Bible, our forefathers and foremothers told us to experience joy. That's a gift that God gave us, is joy. He's still looking at Joyland. I'm going to show you the sign language for joy. Do your hands like this. One here, one like that. Okay, and then go up. That means joy. 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 Now, a thing that goes with joy is gratitude. And the way to show gratitude in sign language is this. Put your hand right here and go down. And that means thanks. So thanks for the joy. That's a gift from God. Now, I'm going to tell you some things that I think you might find joyful. And then we're going to show joy and then show thanks. What about going swimming? Is that a good one?
Yeah.
All right, let's do joy. All right, let's do thanks for the joy. All right, what about ice cream? Agree?
No.
Okay, ready? Thanks for the joy. Puppies. Yes? Agree? Okay. Thanks for the joy. Okay, do you have some ideas about joy? Okay, go.
My birthday party's tomorrow.
Birthday parties! Yoo-hoo! You ready? Thanks for the joy. Yes, ma'am. You went to what? Oh, the bouncy thing? All right, that's joy in there. Are you ready? Thanks for the joy. Any more joy? Come on. Yes.
Hanging out with friends.
And family. And your dad and your mom.
My dad's not here.
Okay, hanging out with family and friends. You ready? Thanks for the joy. Any more joy, guys? Any more? I have one. You ready? I have thanks for the joy that Second B Kids brings to our church. So will you say it with me? Just our voices. You ready? And you are the most joy we get around here, guys. We really appreciate you coming, and we appreciate God giving us joy. So I'm going to thank God for the joy. Will you do it with me? We'll pray it. Dear God, can you do it, Eva? Let's do it one more time. Go down in joy. Good. Thank you for coming. You can go to your joyful families or your joyful preschool prize. Go joyfully.
Let's stand together as we sing, I Stand Amazed in the Presence.
Stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how
The Hebrew scripture reading for today is 2 Samuel 6, 12 through 19. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. The word of God for the people of God.
Together. We ask that your love go beyond that which we can see, that your love transcend that which we can hold, that your love glorify beyond that which we can understand. In our asking, we know that it is so already, because your love is always before us. Your love is always beneath us. Your love is always within us. Your love is always beside us. Your love is always above us. And your love is always beyond any human imagination. May your love bless these, my friends, my brothers and sisters. May your love be far beyond what we can see and touch and taste this very moment. We pray this in the name of true love, the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you stand as you're able, and we'll continue to worship.
Salvation, all ye who hear now to his temple.
The gospel reading for today is Mark 6, 20 through 22. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his couriers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Our daughter Eva, her favorite word right, her favorite phrase right now is "Watch this." Okay. And we've been watching some of these Olympic trials, USA all the way, and we're watching these Olympic trials, and so we've watched a little bit of gymnastics, and so Eva says, "Watch this." We pray that soccer works out because gymnastics is not in our future. Watch this. And as you likely already know, but I spend so much time thinking about the way that I look at our children and the way that God looks at us. And I think about all the things that I do in my life that don't look anything like a real cartwheel, right? Think of all the human folly that I participate in, and God receives it and smiles and is glorified. Okay, and Eva has learned when I'm watching and when I'm not. And she will demand my attention. Watch this. Put your phone down. And then she'll do it again. And I think if all you hear is one thing today, I hope you will hear this. I hope you will hear this. God sees you. God sees you in that silly effort that you call a cartwheel. God sees that and is delighted. God is delighted with the way that you are calling out, "Watch this." And God says, "Yes, let's do it again. Yeah, let's do it again." Last week, and you may have, it would have been hard to miss this week, but last week I brought Eva to the first part of big church. Can we all agree to what the definition of big church is? Yeah. And we didn't process in last week. I sort of tried to sneak up to the front here, and we were singing our processional hymn, and Allison wasn't here, which I knew one of two things. That Lainey was either napping at home, and therefore Allison wasn't going to interrupt a nap, because who would wake up a sleeping baby? Or she was at home working her way through World War III, because unlike the United States government, our family does negotiate with terror on a regular basis. Okay? And so it was just me and Eva, and we were right here, and we're singing the processional hymn, and she's standing on the chair, and I've got a hand behind me holding her hand, and verse one, stanza one turns into stanza two, and my hand is shaking. And I know exactly what's going on right behind me. And stanza two turns to stanza three, and it's shaking a little bit more. They know, because they sit right there every week. You're a real Baptist. Yeah. David, having been installed and commissioned and receive as the king of a united Israel moves the capital from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C. Moves the capital from the north to the land just a bit further south, to the newly acquired land of Jerusalem. And all of Israel brings the Ark of the Covenant, symbolizing the throne of God, symbolizing the presence and the promise of God. Yeah, it's incredible. And many of you will not be pleased with this level of journalism. You will not be pleased with that which is about to happen. However, because we work really hard here all the time, we were able to procure video footage of this moment in which the Israelites brought the Ark into Jerusalem. Confession, I can't sing. If heaven were a place of eternal dancing and singing, even with the Godfather James Brown leading, that would be a definition of the opposite of heaven for me. Yeah. But there is this incredible, and this is true throughout much of human history. There is this aspect of worship, this aspect of reality, this aspect of joy that can only be communicated through our bodies. Yeah. As I'm holding this hand behind me, and stanza three turns to stanza four, and I'm realizing that's a little bit too much booty shaking for a Baptist church. And so I sat down, and I whispered into Eva's ear. I said, let's calm down just a little bit, and let's be still. This is a place of worship. This is a sacred space. And I'm worried about the people behind me. I'm worried about all the people in this room fooling them as though our children are well-behaved. I'm worried about what everyone thinks about us. And yet here is this young one in the presence of divine joy, just dancing it out. And I knew when I sat down and I whispered to her, let's calm down. I knew two things. That first, I would need to stand before you and confess my brokenness. And number two, I knew that the Lord would never, the presence of God would never hold our hands and say, let's calm down. No. In verse 16, it says, Michal, the daughter of Saul, sees David bringing, ushering in with the people, the Ark of the Covenant, dancing, shouting with joy and with trumpet. And it says that Michal despised him. And Scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I'd like to add, there, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and there is joy, and there is dancing. Are we people who whisper, calm down? Or are we people who hand in hand join together in song and in dance? This is what the church is for. Is to be a space, to be a place, to be a people of freedom and joy and in dancing. And I know this is difficult in Baptist history. Difficult in our Baptist history. In our Baptist history, we have outlawed drinking, smoking, and premarital sex for fear that it might lead to dancing. And if you can't, if a brother can't get an amen for that sentence, he'll never get one in this church. Yeah. Yeah. Look, put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is joy. What makes your soul sing? What makes your heart dance? Yeah. And I think it's very helpful and very beautiful to interpret dancing as metaphor. I think it's very helpful for us to think of this dancing as encouragement for us to lean in and to double down and to emphasize the things that give us joy from the inside out. Sure. And yes. Which is, what better words for spirituality are there than and yes? So we receive dancing as metaphor here, yes and. There are two words in our New Testament that are mostly used for the word worship. Two words. They are seen together in the Gospel of Matthew as Jesus is tempted by the adversary. And the adversary says, bow down to me and I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus responds to the adversary, quoting Deuteronomy, and says, for it is written, worship the Lord your God alone and serve the Lord your God only. These two words here, serve and worship, are both the word for worship, but we miss out a little bit on the double entendre in English. But there's two words in the New Testament used for worship. We get both of those words there. Worship the Lord your God, proskuneo, and serve him only, latreo. This first word, latreo, is a word of service. We worship the Lord by serving the Lord and by serving one another. Throughout the New Testament, it's used this way. When we serve the Lord and when we serve one another, this is worship. And this other word for worship, proskuneo, when I was a child, I had it all wrong, and it was later very confusing to me. But when I was a child, I joined in with the congregation of our church. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Proskuneo, to worship, is this prostrate posture. This is where this is where we get these words from, is this same Greek root. That there is in our scripture with regard to worship and with regard to our connectivity with the divine, this physical movement, forwardness, bowing. Yeah. To be a little bit more general, this is the word for worship that connects body and spirit. Yeah. Body and spirit. Which at its probably most simple level, and to be simple is the best, maybe. At its most simple level, this is why we bow. This is why we close our eyes. Maybe your family holds hands as you pray for a meal. Maybe you find yourself bringing your hands together in a namaste, in a peaceful gesture. This word, proskuneo, it's the most simple reason why we do these simple acts of kneeling and bowing and closing our eyes. And this is beautiful. And if this all you receive is just a reminder, there is this monastic proverb that says, we kneel to pray, for it helps our souls. And when our souls cannot pray, we kneel all the more. Yeah. Body and soul joining together for worship. Yeah. And for those of you keeping score at home, this other word for worship, to serve one another and to serve God, it requires the use of our bodies as well, doesn't it? That cold drink of water that you carry to a friend in need, that plate of cookies to your neighbors, all the things that you do to serve one another and to serve God, it uses our bodies. Yeah. And so at this simple level, we can be reminded that there is a purpose in it. And yet also, I also think there's a little bit deeper interpretation here. We receive, at one level, a very strange story in the gospel reading in Mark, and we find this story in pieces in other gospels. However, Herod has married his brother's wife, his brother who is still alive. So his sister-in-law is also his wife. I will make no further comment, for my wife's family is from Arkansas. Yeah. And so Herod has a woman in his life who is his niece and who is his stepdaughter at the same time. Those of you from Oklahoma, please do not amen. Okay? It's very complicated. And Herod asks his daughter, niece of his sister-in-law, wife, to dance for all the women of the, for all the men of the army. It's a strange story, and yet also women being forced to dance for others is a story we're still telling today, isn't it? God help us. Yeah. Yeah. And there's this just beautiful pairing that our lectionary offers us today by placing this story of David dancing before the Ark of the Covenant and Herod forcing his daughter to dance before the armies. Herod's kingdom is a kingdom of force and might and sword. David's kingdom is a kingdom of charisma, of joy, and of faithfulness, causing us to compare the two and celebrate the fidelity of David, to celebrate his covenant commitment, his ability and humility to bow before the Lord, to dance before the Lord in worship. And yet we also know, as great as David may have been in moments, his kingdom did not last. Both the kingdom of Herod and the kingdom of David are yet shadows of the limitless reign of God. For all the kingdoms of this earth will fade. And it is the reign, it is the grace, it is the love, it is the joy, it is the freedom that can only be found in the Spirit. For where the Spirit of the Lord, there is joy, there is freedom, and there is dancing. And that is the kingdom by which there is no end. Yeah. And this causes not just our souls to dance, but I believe it causes the reconciliation of spirit and body. All that is separated, all that is separated is united in the presence of the Spirit. Yeah, I think this is the deeper connection. Yeah, that it where the Spirit of the Lord, there is joy and there is freedom. And when the joy of the Lord reigns, all that is separated is united. There's a story, particularly when Bali became a tourist destination for travelers worldwide, and this very small island nation was overrun with tourists visiting from all over the world. And one of the things uniquely that these tourists began to enjoy is visiting the temple and joining the locals for worship. And isn't it strange that those who were gathering locally for worship, they didn't want those outsiders coming in here. And the local indigenous religion there gathered in the temple, like many indigenous religions and indigenous people groups throughout history, used a lot of dance, used a lot of body movement and physical presentation as part of their liturgy. And so some of the locals joined together and told the priest, "We don't want all these outsiders coming in our church building and ruining our sacred dances. So what are we going to do about it?" And the priest said, "Well, what do you want to do about it?" And so the locals said, we'll set up a dance outside of the temple. And we'll set up a dance outside the temple. And what we'll do is we're going to make up these new dances. And those tourists, they don't know any different. They don't know if the dance that they're seeing is thousands of years old or 10 minutes old. And so sure enough, the local temple set up these new dances outside the walls of the temple for all the tourists to enjoy. And the tourists came and they loved it. and they gave a lot of money, and it was a positive thing for everyone. And sure enough, after that experiment ran its course, the locals there in the temple came to the priest and said, "You know what, priest? Those dances that we made up that we're now performing outside of the walls of the temple, the ones that are brand new, the ones that we are giving away to the tourists that don't actually mean anything, we like those dances." And so the priest said, "Well, what do you want to do?" "This is what we want to do. We want to bring some of those dances that we're doing on the outside of the temple, and we want to do them now on the inside of the temple." And so the priest said, "Let's do it." And so, you know, they started out with maybe, you know, 10% new dances, 90% old dances, right? And on the outside, they did 90% new dances and 10% old dances. And over time, that 10% went to 30%, went to 50%. And this went on with this differentiation between dances ultimately melding together, that those who had been gathering in the temples for their whole lives could not tell the difference between the new dances and the old dances. Because where there is joy, where there is freedom, where there is the Spirit, all things are made one. Let's pray together. Make us one in spirit. Make us one in body. May it be your kingdom come, O God, on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of true love, in the name of the circle dance we call Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. If we can be of help to you now or at your convenience, we'd be honored to do so. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship together.
I've been assigned the duty of the offertory prayer this morning, but I've taken on another job voluntarily, and that's to point out walking, breathing proof that God loves his people. We have with us this morning those who have walked through the valley of the shadow of COVID-19 and have been restored to us this morning. Lee and Beth Pennington, it fills us with joy to see you here. My real job. Holy Father, creator of life and all within it, we approach you at the point of worship where we ask again that you create in each of us a new person, a better person and a committed servant, one who shares responsibility for your kingdom. We all wish to be a happy, cheerful giver of both our works and of our financial gifts, but we can be weak and selfish. I ask that you open my heart to generosity, and that all of us gathered here become blessed by an abundantly generous spirit. We would all become sacrificial givers of our whole selves as you disclose the need around us. We truly desire to be a light to the world, and that we know that we can be so if we do not shrink from your call to shine. Today, this very week, call each of us forth to shine in service and in charity, that we individually and as a congregation of believers become a constant source of the light of generosity, giving and sharing out of our abundance, lighting our own little corner of the world and finding our place. in being a willing and eager servant and a light to you. Amen.
If you join me in prayer as we were taught together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You can be seated. I invite you to join with me as we prepare our hearts, our minds, our bodies to receive the joy of Christ at the communion table. I invite you to join in response as I'll lead you by saying thanks be to God. It is the hope and the peace and the life eternal today. That is why and when we receive all of this, as well as the one who shares it with us. For the grace of God, everlasting and ever present, we pray together. Thanks be to God. for the forgiveness that we have in Christ and the forgiveness that we share in Christian unity, we pray together, thanks be to God. For the bread of life, the body of Christ, broken and resurrected, we pray together, thanks be to God. For the cup of salvation, the healing of all sin and the vitality of our flesh, we pray together, thanks be to God. For the little, for the very little in this moment that we understand, and the divine mystery which beckons our minds and our hearts and our bodies to lean in just a little bit more, we pray together, thanks be to God. For the beloved community, gathered, scattered, buried, and yet unborn, with whom all of us sup together in communion this very moment, we pray together, thanks be to God. For the table of Christ, shared with his friends, shared with his students, shared with the world, including you and me, for this we give thanks and we pray together, thanks be to God. On the night before he received the fullness of the brokenness of the world, he took bread at a Passover meal. He broke it. He gave thanks for it. And he shared it with his friends, with his students. And he said, "This is the fullness of my presence. Take, eat, receive in remembrance of me." And he took the cup after dinner, likewise saying, "This is the cup representing the forgiveness and the reconciliation of all things. Share in this, and as often as you do, remember that it is shared with you on behalf of me and shared with the whole world, the cup of Christ."
Strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thank you. Jesus.